You are listening to the KLC Preaching Podcast, a platform for discussions about Christian preaching in North America. This podcast is a ministry of the Kyle Lake Center for Effective Preaching at Baylor University's George W. Truett Theological Seminary in Waco, Texas.
Welcome to another episode of the KLC Podcast. My name is Tyshawn Gardner. I am Associate Professor of Preaching and Assistant Director of the Kyle Lake Center for Effective Preaching here at the George W. Truett Theological Seminary at Baylor University. I want to welcome and thank you for joining us either by audio podcast or our YouTube channel. We are thankful for your subscription, for you liking and sharing, and we ask that you continue to spread the word. I'm most delighted and happy to have with us our guest, my colleague and friend, Dr. Matthew Kim, who also serves as professor of preaching and pastoral leadership here at George W. Truett Seminary. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you so much, Tyshawn, for having me.
All right. I'm so delighted to share space with you on the preaching faculty. I've been an admirer of your work for so long, many of your books, and just you as a person. If you can share with us, our audience, a little bit about Matthew Kim, the person, your call story, and what has shaped you for this moment.
Sure. I'll start with the most important, which is my family.
Okay.
And so I am married to Sarah, and we have three sons who are in high school and middle school. And we have really enjoyed the Waco community, being here in Waco at Truett for the last couple of years. I grew up in Chicago. I was born and raised there.
Okay.
And eventually went on to school in Minnesota, Massachusetts. I've lived all over the world since then, most recently teaching at Gordon-Conwell for 10 years,
okay.
And then prior to that, pastoring in Colorado and Massachusetts for 10 years. My calling story is a little unique. I don't have time to go into all of it.
Okay.
But basically, my mom dedicated me to ministry when I was born.
Wow.
Because of health complications in me.
Mm.
And I don't have to get into all of that in detail. But God saved me, obviously, and felt like God was calling me. But it didn't. That call feeling or experience didn't happen until college.
Wow.
And so those first 21 years, I was running. I was running from the Lord and running from my call. But it wasn't until junior year of college that I felt, as I was studying abroad, that God was bringing me back. I was going through a cycle of rebellion in my first couple years of college, and then God brought me back, and He confirmed in me that it wasn't my mom's calling, but it was His calling for my life. And since then, I've been serving the Lord 26 plus years in full-time ministry and serving the church, and I love it. It's a joy.
Yeah. So where did you attend college? And give us a little bit of background on your academic journey. And,
sure. I went to a small private school called Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota, a rural little town. Studied history there, thinking that I would go to law school. And my ultimate dream was either to play baseball for the Chicago Cubs as a shortstop or becoming a Supreme Court justice. So I had some lofty goals. The Lord made it very clear that during that junior year that I was supposed to go to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I went to Gordon-Conwell Seminary.
Okay.
I did my Master of Divinity there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the Lord allowed me to get married to Sarah.
Okay. Did you all meet at Gordon-Conwell?
So we met at a church in the Boston area.
In Boston area.
And so she was working for InterVarsity as a staff worker. And then I was a intern at the church and also a seminary student.
Okay.
We eventually moved to Scotland to do further study in preaching, and so we were there for 3 years doing research and writing at the University of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Moved back to the States and pastored the church in Denver.
Okay.
So that's where we've been.
Denver, Colorado. Wow.
Yeah,
you have truly been all over the United States.
All over the place, yeah.
Yeah. So what is your research interest? You study at Edinburgh. What fuels your fire? What did you write about?
So I had some great mentors and a great supervisor at the University of Edinburgh who actually, when I first got there, I had submitted a proposal to study the preaching of Russell Conwell and do a biography of his preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And my first day of meeting with my supervisor, he said, "You're not going to study that. And you're going to start all over." And he asked
typical
me,
supervisor.
Yeah,
right?
So he asked me, "What are you going to do?" And I said, what do you know about?" And I said, I don't think there's ever been a preaching study done on Asian American preaching. Mm. And so that's what I pursued.
Yeah.
I really had to narrow the field. Mm-hmm. And so it became second generation Korean American preaching.
Good, right.
And eventually did interviews and surveys with pastors and listeners mm-hmm. in 28 different churches
okay.
across the United States.
Yeah. What was your most surprising insight about second generation Asian American preachers and pastors?
One of the things that I was trying to understand was, does our bicultural experience fit into the preaching moment?
Mm.
And I felt like interviewing them, a lot of the pastors trained, who were most likely trained in the United States and in U.S. seminaries, mm-hmm. didn't consider their Asian aspect of who they were
right.
in their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement in the dissertation was to say, I think we need a bicultural homiletic mm-hmm. and hermeneutic.
Oh, wow.
So that we can understand our listeners better and right. speak more effectively into their situation and life experience.
Right. Which leads me, you probably know where I'm going with this. One of the books, and probably the book that has really impacted me in my work of social crisis preaching, is your book, Preaching with Cultural Intelligence. Was that book a byproduct of your study? And how important is it that preachers understand the people who hear their sermons?
Mm. So the book, Preaching with Cultural Intelligence, was trying to fill a gap mm-hmm. in the literature.
Right.
I felt like at the time, no one had really written on various different cultures. Mm-hmm. And so ethnicity is one of them.
Right.
Denominations, gender, location. There are just various aspects of cultural intelligence that preachers didn't really consider very much. And so for me, it was in some ways an extension of that book to really think through in a larger scale.
Uh-huh.
How do we do contextualization?
Right.
And so for me, that became the true test, you know, mm-hmm. can a book be written on various topics intelligently in that area? So
right.
Listeners, I think, do need contextualization from our preachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we can pray and discern and get to know our people,
mm-hmm.
that's really the crux of ministry is
mm-hmm.
We don't want to divorce preaching and pastoring, as other people right. have said in the past.
Right. And if you don't have that book, do yourself a favor and purchase that book by Matthew Kim, Preaching with Cultural Intelligence, Understanding the People Who Hear Our Sermons. It'll bless your life. So Matt, I want to talk a little bit about you. You are also will be the incoming director of Truett Seminary's PhD in Preaching program, and I'm glad and grateful to be working with you alongside with you as we develop pastors and preachers.
Yeah.
Why should a student, preacher, come to Truett to study in our program, a program that you will shepherd, give vision, and shape to?
I think that Dr. Scott Gibson, the architect of this mm-hmm. program, of the PhD in Preaching program, really set a good foundation for us to really establish a community of preachers here.
Yes.
I think we have a fantastic faculty. I know I'm biased, but working with Dr. Alcantara, yourself, and me, and others, we're really positioned well for the future of preaching,
mm-hmm.
The field, the study of preaching.
Right.
I believe that we have a holistic model of this
right.
discipline, that it's not just the head academics that we're trying to focus on. We want to understand our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We want to form pastors.
Right.
We want to form our hearts
mm-hmm.
And character, and all of that is shared in community here
uh-huh.
at Truett. So we have an embodied community that I think really can help develop preachers, not just for the mind,
uh-huh.
but for the church,
yeah.
For our spiritual development, and for the best interest of pastors.
Yeah. I love that. I love that model. It's very rigorous academically, but also the focus is on the whole person, the development of the mind, the heart, teaching and going alongside future pastors or current pastors as they develop and shape communities as well. Yeah. So, Matt, I want to go back to you, talking to you a little bit about your ministry trajectory. Is there or was there a defining moment that you realized that you were in the place of God?
Yeah.
And along with that, how did you make the shift from pastoral ministry to academia?
I think that the defining moment was really bombing my first preaching, my preaching exercise. I failed miserably on my first sermon.
Okay.
In my first preaching class.
Uh-huh.
With Dr. Haddon Robinson as my professor.
Oh, wow.
And I still remember thinking, I'm an utter failure. I blanked. We had to internalize or memorize our sermons.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't use notes.
Right.
And I remember clearly going halfway through my 15-minute sermon and blanking. I just could not remember a single word afterwards. And I sat there dumbfounded, and I said, in conclusion, and tried to make up something right on the spot.
Right.
And it did not go well.
Okay.
I didn't do well in that sermon. I thought, how am I ever going to be used by the Lord? I can't speak. I'm an introvert. I'm already a shy, introverted person. How is this all going to work out? And I still remember the Lord saying, don't worry, it's not about you.
Mama.
I got this. You know,
what comforting words.
It's a reminder of how we are dependent on the Lord for everything.
Right.
And God has really seen that through in my life, that the more I depend on Him, mm-hmm. the more He is able to use me in the ways that He's created me to be.
Right, right.
And for me, that was a defining moment.
Yeah.
And it's not always through success that we see.
It's not.
What God's plan is, it was through failure, and I'm sure I bombed many other sermons since then, but I felt like that was a moment where God was saying to me, you're going to be a minister, you're going to be a pastor, and the transition to teaching actually happened after years of being a senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord just opened up that opportunity mm-hmm. for the timing of Dr. Robinson to retire. And they were looking for a preaching professor at Gordon-Conwell at the time.
Right.
And so I applied, and the Lord worked that out for me.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about influences, people, pastors, preachers, professors. Maybe give us 2-3 people who have shaped you and who've had that indelible impact upon your life. Who might they be, and how have they shaped you?
Sure. Well, I would say from a church perspective, Sung Chan Ra was one of my mentors, a pastor. He was my pastor in Boston, where I met my wife at his church. And he just had this passion for the Lord, the zeal for not just the word being preached faithfully, but taking care of the marginalized, the poor, the least of these.
That's his hallmark.
And he gave us that heart as a pastor. So in a pastoral realm, he really had a profound influence on my life. And then I would say Dr. Gibson and Dr. Robinson were the two that really shaped me, formed me, helped me to see that this shy little kid from Chicago could teach preaching. It was something that I never fathomed would be possible for me.
Yeah.
And they spent countless hours pouring into my life in not just the discipline of putting a sermon together, but all of life. So I'm very, very grateful for them. And I hope to continue their legacy in my life.
Yes. Our colleague Scott Gibson, as Dr. Kim has alluded to, is the founder of the PhD program here, a prolific author, an even better man. He's been a blessing to my life the short time I've been here, just a champion of students and colleagues. So we wish him well in retirement. We're going to miss him, but hope to have him around every now and then. Yeah. So you are, we share some similarities. I've served in pastoral ministry, made the transition to academia full time. And I think it's a rare combination. How are you developing your students with the experiences that you have of being pastor, professor, and that hybrid, is it needed? Does the church need that? Does the community need that melding? And how are you shaping and forming students? What's most important?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tyshawn. I think that what this world needs right now is thoughtful pastor scholars, pastor theologians.
Right.
So we need people who love God's word, know how to effectively interpret it and apply it to people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes most rigorously in training pastors for doctoral work. I think of it as not everyone's going to get a teaching position.
Right.
But we want to have thoughtful pastors in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, we will probably see various students go into the academy. Some have already found teaching positions from our program.
Yes.
And I believe that will continue. Right. At the same time, we want to make sure that the church has the best pastors that we can bring to them.
Yeah.
And we need that right now in this critical moment of the church.
Right. So, and it is a very critical moment. When you think about the political landscape, social landscape, there's so many social crises, there's division perhaps everywhere, namely, and of all places, the church. What are some particular opportunities and challenges that you see for the kind of students that we're developing here at Truett Seminary?
What we don't want is for pastors or seminarians to mimic the culture.
That's right.
And we want to, one of the things I instill in my leadership class is we need pastors with backbones.
Mm.
We cannot just capitulate to whatever the culture is teaching
right.
this world.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be mean about it or grumpy about it, but be direct and firm,
mm-hmm.
Loving in the Lord
mm-hmm.
and instructing the right things that the church needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we try to do in our preaching classes. We don't shy away from tough topics or tough
right.
texts.
Yeah.
God has a word for the church,
yeah.
and we want to be faithful in communicating that. So one thing that I try to do is embolden the pastors,
uh-huh.
embolden the preachers to say, you can preach hard words with love.
Yeah.
You can correct and rebuke, as 2 Timothy says.
Yes.
We can do these things faithfully, but at the same time, not forget our primary role, which is to preach and be pastors.
Right.
And shepherd right. the flock and care and love the people.
That's very important. Very important. In closing, what are you working on, and can you share? Can you let our listeners know what's upcoming, and what are your hopes for your work?
Sure. About a year ago, I was surprised to get a phone call from Baker Academic to write a preaching textbook.
Okay.
So that's my main project right now. It's a large project,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we don't have enough time to work on it,
and
I'm doing my best to carve out time, but that's my main focus for the next year,
okay.
is to get this preaching textbook done. And one thing that's interesting, I think is interesting, is that I'm trying to create a Trinitarian model of preaching so that we don't have to argue over which member of the Godhead is chief. We need all members of the Godhead involved in our preaching ministry and life. Right. So that's the main thing I'm working on right now, Tyshawn.
Okay. All right. Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on this podcast, and we hope to have you again. Blessings on your work. I am delighted also to work with you, and blessings upon your upcoming position as the director of the PhD preaching program here at Baylor. And we look forward to blessing and preparing many, many women and men for the work of ministry.
I'm so excited to be on this faculty with you. I'm so glad you've come here so that we can partner in this great work together. Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's our time. Please remember to subscribe, like, and share, and tune in for more insightful and empowerful discussions from the KLC podcast. Thank you.